This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Now we're turning our attention to the Irish in Europe on the football front. Away from the athletics towards football. Our very own Barry Murphy happened to be covering Shamrock Rovers last night. We thought going into that game, well, you know, they've done a lot of the work in the first leg. 3-1 up. A disastrous night unfolded for Stephen Bradley's men. In case you missed it, Shamrock Rovers lost 5-1 away to Ignatia, so they are eliminated. Here is Stephen Bradley himself speaking to the in-house Shamrock Rovers channel afterwards.
Stephen, a difficult night here, I'm sure. A tough one to sum up.
Not really. Yeah, we were awful. We let ourselves down tonight. We let, as a group, we let ourselves down. We've let the fans down, the club down tonight. Not very often you can say that about this group of players, but we have tonight, all of us, as a group. And, it's a million miles away from the standards we set ourselves. And when you do that at any level, but especially European level away from home, yeah, you don't stay in games and you get beaten, and that's what happened.
It wasn't an ideal start to the game and it seemed to compound itself. They were very threatening.
Yeah, well, we knew they would be. What we've seen off them tonight is what they've been at home. We knew what was coming. And like I said, we were just really, really off it in every aspect. And that's very unlike us, but unfortunately it happened tonight.
Yeah, pure honesty from Stephen Bradley in the aftermath of, let's face it, a horrendous night for Shamrock Rovers. Barry Murphy, good morning. You saw it all.
I saw it all and I had to commentate on it as well, Colin. Good morning to you both. But yeah, somber mood here this morning. The lights are dimmed. as you can see here. Just a really tough one to take. And I just don't think we saw it coming. This in the first leg, they were so good. 3-1, and it could have been 5 or 6.
There
was just a little bit of unease though, leaving that stadium where you thought they didn't get that 4th to 5th goal when they were on top, and Ignatia just started to come into it the last 10 minutes and show a little bit about what they were about, and their home form has been really good in Europe as well. They're yet to start their league season, so that was another thing we thought. Rovers were going to kick into gear at some stage eventually in this game and the fitness is going to take over. But Rovers' form in Europe has been terrible this season. You know, it's conceding 2 goals in Gibraltar or in Malta, losing 2-0 in Armenia as well. It just hasn't been good, and it's the return leg at home that's got them out of that hole. But going away from home today, they were just desperate. And if you're trying to rally yourself as well on commentary, thinking, listen, they're still in this, and then another goal goes in and same again, you're trying to do it again. But 3-0 down after 20 minutes, 4 down at halftime, and the only saving grace was that there was a red card just before halftime, and you're thinking, oh, this is a glimmer of hope to get back into it now, but didn't come out at all. Probably didn't make the necessary changes either, probably stuck to it till halftime, and it probably needed a bit of a refresh, 20 minutes, 10 minutes to go before halftime. They came out second half and got that 5th goal again with 10 men on the counter-attack, and that was curtains for overs.
Yeah. Look, I'd say a lot of people might have missed this because there was so much happening with the European Athletics Championships. And then, of course, you had Shelburne, who in and of itself on the night was an amazing result for the club, drawing 2-2 with Ajax going out in the tie, albeit. Bowes had a decent enough performance away to Midtjylland last 3-2 on the night, so they go out. So, funnily enough, Rovers are the only remaining Irish side in Europe. They have the Conference League qualifier playoff to come as a consolation here. But for those who missed it, Barry, can you explain at all what happened? You touched on their poor form in Europe this year, but they're 4-0 down, Barry, on the night in no time. As you say, the red card doesn't help. Ignatia actually score another goal after that.
Yeah, it was 3 minutes in and they had a chance. Jake Mullane did really well to stop it, but then a couple of minutes later, the exact same chance down the right-hand side. Rovers played with a back three of Stevens, Lopez and Shabawale, and they just totally exposed Rovers down the right-hand side, Rovers' right-hand side between Mulroney and Shabawale. balls over the top. The pace, just Rovers looked really devoid of pace centrally and at the centre half position as well. Just totally exposed, and they scored the goal. The crowd got on their back then, the Rovers back, and then compounded a couple of minutes later with a second, and the third goal on 20 minutes just knocked Rovers out. They just couldn't come back from it, couldn't find any foothold in the game. Their goalkeeper was dodgy, Dyson Annie from the first leg as well. I don't know whether you saw it. Then a couple of mistakes, and you're thinking set pieces they conceded as well from the first leg.
I heard you say it on commentary in the first leg. Sorry, Barry, I heard you say I'm not having this goalkeeper at all.
Yeah, well, listen, they set up in the zonal defence from corner kicks, two big 6'4" centre-half stuck on the six-yard line. Rovers came in, Pico Lopez, Enda Stevens, gone on the end of things with a running start and score goals, and you're thinking this is amateur stuff from the Albanians, but the goalkeeper just looked dodgy every time the ball came in, but Rovers didn't get anywhere near putting the ball in on top of him, didn't make him make any saves. They obviously did, but any good team in Europe does, kills time anytime they can. The keeper goes down, there's injuries, players coming off. Rovers just couldn't get a foothold at all. It was just a throwback to maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Rovers' performance in Europe when they were kind of learning the ropes. You felt they were kind of over that though now, and they've got that bit of European know-how, go and get the result away from home and bring it home to Tallinn and get the result. But it was just a throwback to those poor performances last night.
Was there a tiredness there, Barry, at all? Like, you saw it for one of the goals when Pico Lopez just gets a little bit caught out. And in fairness, if anyone's going to be tired, then maybe Pico Lopez has a right to be. But there seemed to be a tiredness among a number of players last night.
It was a mental fatigue more than a physical tiredness. I think it was just the decision making was all over the place. A couple of times Pico played out from the back and it was given straight to their midfield, and they were bearing down on goal. They just went full press on Rovers, put the pressure on. Rovers tried to play out, probably didn't play the elements too well either. They tried to knock the ball around, and it was warm. It was 29 degrees at kickoff time, and you could see it. I think there was a water break, a hydration break after 10 minutes, and then needed another one after 25 minutes. So I think we needed a different sort of hydration break in a commentary booth, a stronger one that first 25 minutes. But no, listen, there's no excuses. They did it in the first leg. They have the quality to go and beat them. Just didn't turn up, and these nights can happen in Europe. I've been on the end of one of them in TNS myself, with Bowes, where everything goes against you and you can't find that kind of foothold to get back into the game, but just really poor on the night.
What's the reaction of Shamrock Rovers fans, do you get the sense, Barry? Because online, you see, and social media is not the place to get these reactions, but there's a lot of criticism of Stephen Bradley in some quarters on social media, and social media can be loud and it's an echo chamber to a degree. But you heard his interview there, like, you know, where he's asked, tough one to sum up, and he says, not really, and then goes on to, but we feels like we've seen that post-match interview a few times in Europe, as we said this season. So is there any pressure on him? Like, it seems a remarkable thing to say because of the success he's had at the club, and a ridiculous thing to say perhaps, but is there any pressure on him?
I just think he's a victim of his own success in Europe. I think, yeah, like, you look at where they've come from. Your Irish clubs were lucky to get through a round or two, and now they're knocking on the door of group stage football every season. I think it was just an expectation that Rovers were going to do this every season. I mean, they've gone up a level. That's Europa League. They've obviously got that parachute now coming back into the Conference League to play off against Coupes. And that's probably the top tier of the level where they're at the moment, Shamrock Rovers. I just think, listen, they're quality players, Ignacio, but you would have felt Rovers had enough to go and do it. I don't think there's pressure on him. I don't see how there can be. He's won the league back-to-back how many times and progressed so far in Europe. It's just that the bar had been raised in those European kind of fixtures of the last couple of seasons. Then when you dip back under it again, I think questions are asked. Maybe questions around substitutions and formations, not changing things quick enough, but that's probably all he can really level at him today.
I think you summed it up nicely there, Barry, when you said he's kind of a victim of his own success, Stephen Bradley, because to follow on there from Shane's question, I'd wonder, like, what is Stephen Bradley's motivation here to continue in terms of what can he achieve? Because they are the double winners from last year. They are currently 7 points clear at the top of the Premier Division. They are again in FAI Cup action this weekend. We know what Shamrock Rovers can do domestically. The whole country does. In fact, the rest of the country is worried about Rovers' dominance under Stephen Bradley. But this is such a huge blow to Rovers to have a performance like that and to go out, and because a win would have guaranteed at the very minimum Conference League stage football. And I just wonder, what is there left for Stephen Bradley? And maybe there's plenty, but that's just the question I have.
I think European football is the next great adventure in terms of going up levels. I think the group stage would have been the goal this year, Europa League group stage. They've obviously been in the Conference League the last couple of seasons, but you just look at the way that the Champions League draw came for them as well. The good opening round Champions League draw, got through that, then got Ararat Armenia. You felt that, like, they got beaten 2-0 away from home, brought them back to Tala and really went at them. They conceded a poor goal. And had they got through that, you had Celje in the next round and then Slovan Bratislava in the playoff round of the Champions League. So, like, you're not going to get a better window of qualifying for the Champions League than that one, I don't think, just by the Rovers seeding over the last couple of years has allowed them to get that draw. Now that's going to knock them back, that obviously in the coefficient, that result last night. But again, I don't think they're too far above Conference League stage. That's probably where we're at. And listen, that's no guarantee either. You've got Cups now on next week, and they're no mugs, excuse the pun, but you know what I mean? They're a good side. They're the Finnish champions. They've been around European football for the last couple of seasons as well. So they'll see this is a good draw for them as well going into that game.
Was the heat a factor, Barry? Like, do you reckon? I know you mentioned the hydration breaks and all the rest, but like, I'm reaching for excuses here for on Rovers' behalf, but kind of an impact of these games.
I don't think it was. I saw an interview the night before with Will Fitzgerald talking about it, how it was boiling, but then when it come kickoff time, it dropped significantly. Now, listen, you looked at them after 10 minutes and they were soaking wet. Like, it was, the humidity looked incredible. But Rovers have been doing this for the last 5-6 years, going to these European countries in the height of summer and getting results. They just weren't there. They weren't at the races, didn't get off the bus and just couldn't put it. Like, that doesn't affect 5-10 yard passes. They just weren't there tonight. And just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And it just didn't happen for them on the night. I don't think they'll make any excuses. I think there'll be a lot of soul searching on that plane home last night and questions asked of each other. And that's probably where you've seen down through the years with Rovers that they do tend to bounce back. Stephen's always going on about the levels and how the mentality of this team. I expect them to bounce back on Sunday in what would be a cracker at Pats.
This is a very strange place for Pico Lopez to be in his career, in that he had this frankly unrelatable summer at the World Cup that no League of Ireland player can relate to him about, and he's the ultimate professional, Pico Lopez, and he was dying to get back to play for Shamrock Rovers. And we've seen this when he came back from having their first kid. He was dying to play, and Stephen Bradley said, "No, you gotta just relax, like, you know, you relax." But it must be human nature, Barry, for it to be a hell of a come down to go from playing against, you know, the two World Cup finalists in Argentina and Spain, and both games being positive for Cape Verde in terms of their performance levels. And then he comes back here and then he has a night like that and he doesn't play well himself at all last night. And I just wonder where his head is at the moment. I mean, obviously only one person can answer that, but it is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's not a fatigue thing. I think the games, they're not too taxing the last couple of games in the League of Ireland. That's the way it's been with Shamrock Rovers. They've been able to play the same 11, same 13, 14 throughout the last couple of seasons where nobody's really gone and challenged Rovers. But just his performances have dipped. They definitely have dipped. But I think everyone's looking out for a dip to have a little pop maybe about an Irish player who's gone away to Cape Verde, done really well at the World Cup, and then kind of there's an unease about a League of Ireland player kind of getting a high profile, going out and doing ads, doing media bits as well, looking after himself financially when he can, striking when the iron's hot. I think other kind of fans will maybe hop on that train where you're thinking, listen, we can have a little jolt here about Pico Lopez when he got the headlines during the World Cup, and Rovers got the headlines off the back of it as well. But listen, his form has dipped. There's no getting away from that. He got sent off against Strada. He'll miss the game now against Pats at the weekend, and two subsequent ones in the league. So that might be the little break. It might be a blessing in disguise, that little break.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about Shelburne next with Ross and Mark. But what a start to John Russell's career as Shelburne manager. Like, it is mad. Like, because he hasn't been there that long. I think it was the 13th of July, was it, that he was hired?
Yeah.
So a month and a day ago. So they lose to Kerry first time out in the second round of the FAI Cup. And then they beat Naomi Calhoun 5-2 in the first leg. They lose 2 in the second leg, but they go through. Then they lose to Waterford. Then they have the first leg against Ajax, which is the biggest 3-1 battering you'll ever see in your life. But they get away with a 3-1, and it's fair play to them. And then they lose again at the weekend at home to Pats. And then they have this amazing night last night where they draw 2-2 with Ajax. I mean, overall, upon reflection, that those Ajax games probably went better than many anticipated in terms of the final score and the tie and the performance levels. But it's just been, I'd say, a complete roller coaster for the man since he took over.
Oh, it is. And I remember only speaking to him a couple of weeks ago when he was up in Talisman, and he looked knackered, like he looked tired. And I kind of was saying to him, how are you getting on? He's like, there wasn't much coming through the Sligo Academy. I think he was saying this is the first time that there was nothing coming through. And you're thinking, is he going to kind of leave the job and take a break? And then suddenly he gets this role and he looks energised again. He looks like his vivacious is about him. He's happy. And just the interview after the game was brilliant, I thought, with Premier Sports. He's talking about, haven't even moved my family up yet. I'm trying to deal with Ajax and £30 million players coming to Talca Park. But just the whole occasion, I think, was brilliant. I was driving by it on the way into town last night, and just around Talca Park at the Cat and Cage pub, the fans mingling together, and just even the Ajax stuff with their social media, kind of collaborating with Shells and doing little bits together and telling fans when the shop is open. I think that's what European football is all about when a big club comes to town and looks after a so-called smaller club. But I think Shells were brilliant on the night, absolutely brilliant, and probably robbed of a famous win as well with that disallowed goal. Yeah. I'm not sure what they saw in disallowing it, but it's certainly been a roller coaster for John. But his real job now is settling the league form. How do we carry that over from Europe now into league form and make sure that we have it, or that they have it again next season?
How about Bulls?
Yeah, listen, it's a really good performance from them going over to Midtjylland, and like that, they're probably the benchmark in terms of what a League of Ireland club can do, the way they've gone about it. Like the 10 internationals in that team just sold a winger, Sims here, for $10 million to Trabzonspor. And like, even you look at Denmark, 6 million population, not too dissimilar from ourselves. So I think that's the kind of template of what a League of Ireland team could do. Recruit well. They bought in a sort of Jamestown model themselves, a version of it, recruited from the kind of Nordic countries, bought the best players in, young, gave them game time in the first team, and then sell them on for higher value. Like, if we could do something similar with our academies and kind of clean up some of the players that aren't getting games across the water here, I think that's the kind of benchmark, and it just shows you where you can go. They're now in Europe every year. They're winning the leagues, and it's a huge performance going over there and getting a couple of goals over there. But for them, that's probably what they're looking at next season, is can they be where Shamrock Rovers were 4 or 5 years ago? Start to get through a couple of rounds, build up that kind of bit of funds going in, get additions to your team, and then make that a constant every year.
Owen Couser wrote for The Sun yesterday that Stockport County are tracking Dawson Devoy, the Bulls captain. And I'm putting you on the spot here a bit, Barry, but if you were Dawson Devoy's advisor, what would you be advising?
Listen, Dawson wants to play international football, and in reality, is he going to get that chance again, barring one of those kind of weird windows where there's a couple of friendlies and some of the first team squad aren't involved? Like, for his international future, he'll probably look at going abroad. But listen, he's on a Bowes team that are on the rise, but are they going to be challenging? That's the question Dawson's got to ask himself. But like, he can't waste years as a footballer. He's probably got 15 years, and I'm not saying he's wasting them at Bowes. He's a brilliant addition to a brilliant club, but those years, you've got to make the most of them. If that means going abroad and getting maybe some Irish caps off the back of it, then I think that's something Dawson will definitely consider.
FAI Cup this weekend. Some cracking games, actually, in the third round. There's the Barry Murphy Derby, of course, to contend with. At 2 o'clock on Sunday, St. Patrick's Athletic against the defending champions, Shamrock Rovers. You have, I suppose, mixed memories yourself in the FAI Cup. It was 2021, you have your medal. 2012 was the loser's medal. You were up and down with the emotions in the FAI Cup, but it means a lot to you because we've spoken with you about this before.
Oh, it's just such a brilliant competition. And it was, it used to be, the day out was the one where you could show your family and friends you were a proper footballer nearly, you know, going to the Aviva, a huge crowd, the suits, everything done right. But it's all about getting through these early rounds. And yeah, as you said, I've had up and down, mixed feelings on it all. I got the medal eventually in 2021,
yep, sure,
and retired off the back of that. But yep, it's such a big cup for Rovers and Pats in themselves. I think for Pats, if they could get a cup run, or like, you look at the way the draw is at the moment, if they get past Rovers now, it opens up for them going into the latter stages. And if they could get a cup win and secure European football, it's probably seen as a really good season. And then you have a real tilt at the title challenge next year. For Rovers, it's about trying to get that cup back. They waited so long to get it back last season, and I think they won't want to let it go, and they've got to react now. Everyone's looking at that game on Sunday thinking, what kind of reaction are we going to get? Is it going to be the same 11 that plays, and you're telling them to go and mend what you did at the, on Thursday night? But it's going to be an absolute cracker on a Sunday. What more do you want?
There are some fabulous fixtures actually in this third round. So you have three games tonight, all kicking off at 7:45. UCD against Derry City, Galway United against Bray Wanderers, and Waterford against that Lone Town. And then tomorrow, this is quite close to the heart here for me anyway, 4 p.m. It's College Corinthians, my club in Cork, at home to Drogheda United. It's College Corinthians' biggest game since 1995. Right. It's absolutely enormous. This is the club of David Mitre as well, for people in the know. It's a huge club in Cork, but that's a massive, massive day for Cork and College Corinthians tomorrow at 4 against Drogheda United. You got Dundalk against Castlebar Celtic, another cracker, at 5 p.m. tomorrow. You got Sligo Rovers against Kerry, of course, who vanquished Shells earlier. That's at 7:45 tomorrow. And then on Sunday, the Barry Murphy Derby, Pats Rovers. And you got Bowes against Longford Town. So some brilliant fixtures. Listen, I mentioned Derry at the top of that. I can't let you go, Barry, without asking you about the news of the week. And James McLean, and Jesus, when David Snaid reported on for the 42.ie, it looked like the end, and then the Irish Independent immediately go back and say, I might not be, and now it looks like they're going to rescind the cancellation of the contract, and Mark Connolly's repeatedly saying James McLean is a Derry City player. Who knows what happens here? There was a big debate on the LOI pod this week between Vinnie Pertz, Garrett McLean and Owen Heary about what should happen here. They actually, particularly Garrett and Owen, were kind of on the side of James McLean actually, and that Derry have more of a duty of care to look after McLean. We've heard the opposite opinion from many people that McLean's gone overboard here. What do you think, Barry?
I do think he's gone overboard in terms of his social media. I think you just can't say that. You can't come out against any employer and talk about them in those terms and not expect to have any sort of repercussions. But I just think the way Derry went about it, they'll look back and think we could have addressed that totally different. Listen, you've got a player that has a will to win and has got that about him. And as Gareth kind of said during the week, you know what you're signing there. So you've got to deal a little bit with the personality as well. But I just think you can't say that, and any sort of employer will look at that and go, no, that's not right, we've got to address that. And I think, listen, all hasn't been right up there for a while in terms of Tiernan and James McLean from what I've kind of heard. So I think once Tiernan went out the door, you're thinking, right, he's going to get a real go now in the team. And then to suddenly say, no, listen, we're looking to move you on as well, things aren't right, and you're just wondering what the next steps will be up there. And they've got to get it right, because if Mark Connolly does end up getting the job, then you're losing your director of football, and that's something they haven't had for the last couple of seasons, or don't think ever. So you've got to replace that straight away, because that's recruitment is the biggest thing up there, is drawing players up there. So if he goes and takes that job, and listen, that's kind of the way Derry have kind of done things over the last couple of seasons, has taken that option, the local option, or in around it. You'd think that the recruitment drive now will be a lot better. You've got 9 games to go at the end of the season, kind of get European football, but they've got to get the right man in charge up there, because obviously there's a lot of personalities to deal with as well up there.
I hope you recover from all together now.
Just about. The voice has only come back. Me and Brian Kerr rocking it out down there.
Top stuff, Barry. We'll talk to you soon in studio, no doubt. Thanks a bit for popping on.
Cheers. Chat to you soon, lads. Bye-bye.
That's the former League of Ireland goalkeeper with a variety of top Dublin clubs, of course, Barry Murphy.
Yeah.
Or Rovers.
I saw the interviews. Mark Connolly's the Derry City manager. He's a Monaghan man. He's from Clonus. I've spoken to him many times before.
Sure is,
Like, it's an awkward situation for him, because he's obviously been parachuted in from director of football to interim manager, and he was having to come out with the same line. It sounded like a parrot, but obviously he had to come out with this line. Well, James is still a Derry City player, and he must have said it 20 times.
Sure, he was smirking himself.
It was. But yeah, you wouldn't envy him in that position. But interesting to see, does James play this weekend or in the next week or two? But that situation's not going to go
away. Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.